Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
He is a clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Medicine and assistant professor of orthopedics at Feinberg School of Medicine. How are you today, Dr. Elliott?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's Bear Football Monday, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to go in the game tonight.
I am not going to the game. I'm going home. We're going to grill, and we're going to catch the game at home.
Oh, I can only imagine how many Chicagoans are watching. It's just so fun that we're, you know, we're on Monday Night Football and we can all see it. So ABC, ESPN1, I believe, and NFL Plus, it's one of those games that you don't have to have a streaming service to pay for, which is a change.
No, I agree.
All right. So all the stories that you send me, I'm intrigued by all of them. And this is from a publication called Becker's.
Yeah, it's from a publication called Becker's. It's a company that's based here in the Chicago area, and they're a great news source for those of us in the industry, and they get us a lot of information, and they have good sourcing in the industry, so we get a lot of good information from them.
Okay, let's talk about GLP-1s. Several of those stories are included. One, that cancer doctors are now paying attention to what is happening when people are using GLP-1s, which are the weight loss drugs. For those of you who don't know, that would be everything from Ozempic to Wegovy to Mounjaro to Zepbound.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a class of drugs that we know so little about. And I think we're learning how little we know because we're finding out so much more each day. And I think there's questions as to whether or not they may have some utility in helping to treat certain cancers that people are going through. And we see some development. They're looking at potentially using it to treat patients that have some issues with disease of fatty liver. So I think it's always fascinating to kind of read it and see what's bubbling up out of the development pipeline.
Yeah. In that article you sent, it said GLP-1s were associated with a 41% relative risk reduction in obesity-related cancers, suggesting the drugs have cancer protective effects beyond weight loss alone. They did say you don't lose as much weight as you do if you have the bariatric surgery, but it's certainly a lot easier for people to take an injection than, you know, have a surgery.
Well, it certainly is. And I think that, you know, the studies like that are interesting. It's great to get a sense of what the risk reduction is, and that's terrific. But whenever you read something, and you know, one of my students is here with me today, and she wanted to come and see what this all looks like, and we were talking about some of these things, and you know, you see, whenever you look at a study, you say, well, does that make sense? And in this case, what they're seeing makes sense. That risk reduction really makes sense because the aim of the drug is to help get at obesity, and we know, and we've learned more and more, that obesity can be a causative element to a number of different cancers. And so if we can control the obesity, then we can control an element that becomes a risk factor for a cancer in the future.
Okay, here comes some questions.
Sure.
Can somebody who has had pancreatitis use those new diet drugs?
Yeah, you know, that's an excellent question. And I think that's one that we really have to learn a little more about. I think that's a difficult question really just to answer. On the one hand, I think people are looking and saying, well, that could be very helpful because oftentimes pancreatitis can be a disease state that arises from elements related to obesity. And so if you can do it safely, then it may be a really effective way to help people avoid a recurrence of that in the future. But I don't know that the data is out there to really support that wholeheartedly right now.
And another is asking that I asked Dr. Elliott about a medication called Contrave as an alternative to a GLP-1.
That, I'm going to tell you right now, I've not heard much. I don't know much about the medication Contrave. When we're in break, I can take a look at that a little bit. And you know, we can come back out of break and get the listeners some information for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what I know is that if you don't know about it, then it's probably something that might be in the herbal or supplement aisle. I'm not real sure. But yeah, he'll take a look at that when we take the break for the 4:30 news and come back. Someone is saying, I'm taking 2,700 milligrams of gabapentin daily. It helps sometimes. It does not others, with essential tremor and gait. Ataxia. What is the maximum dose?
Yeah. I saw that question sitting in there, and I figured we'd get to it. It's a question that I think a lot of people ask about the drug gabapentin for a lot of different indications, a lot of different reasons for use. The answer to that question is that it's hard to really give a definitive answer, and that's because gabapentin is one of these drugs that sort of takes a while to ramp up and really show an effect. At the same time, the more you bring the dose up, the greater the risk you have for some of the different side effects that come from, you know, changing the way your nervous system is functioning throughout your body. And because of that, there, when you read the dosing guidance on gabapentin, especially for use in something like essential tremor, they don't really talk about a true maximum dose. And so you'll see people moving up to total doses in a day of something like 2,700 milligrams, but it certainly is going to come with an increased risk for some of those side effects. And as always with gabapentin, it's one of those drugs that, and I think the texter in the question even said, she feels sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And that's a common thing to hear people say when they take gabapentin.
I have a dog on it, and I didn't know that they were using it for essential tremors as well. Interesting. Dr. Sterling Elliott is with us, clinical pharmacist of Northwestern Medicine and assistant professor of orthopedics at Feinberg School of Medicine. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. Dr. Sterling Elliott is with us. He's a regular voice on this show for Ask a Pharmacist Day. He's the clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Medicine and assistant professor of orthopedics at Feinberg School of Medicine. You have a student with you today, so they're learning the ropes. Who is your student?
Larissa is here with me today. She helped me check out a few things earlier today before we got in. And so I said to her, you want to come and see what's going on? And she said,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Welcome to the studio. Okay, we have a caller. Ron is on line one. Ron, it's about taking a meal with your medication. What's your question for Dr. Elliott?
Yes. Hello, Lisa. Dr. Elliott. I take labetalol, 300 milligrams, and it doesn't suggest a prescribed, taking medication with the meal, but occasionally I deal with nausea, so can maybe you just give me a suggestion, as far as how I can maybe eliminate that, or at least handle it a lot better. And thank you very much.
Oh, sure, Ron. Glad you called. This is a question that a lot of people ask us all the time. So you're having it sounds like, when you take the labetalol medication, and sometimes when you take medication, a lot of the blood pressure medications can be taken with or without food. So I think that's important for everybody to know. When you take it with food, sometimes that helps delay the absorption of the drug into your stomach and then eventually circulating in your blood. You may notice, it may cause a delayed effect, although if you're taking labetalol routinely, you probably won't notice too much of it. But if it helps alleviate the nausea that comes with it, that's okay. Sometimes we tell people to take one of the other drugs in that class, a beta blocker, because it actually helps delay the absorption and it can sometimes help stave off like a really big drop in blood pressure that you see. So sometimes you see those things, but that was an excellent question.
Someone's asking, and a lot of people ask this, if you are on a GLP-1, do you need to stay on it indefinitely to maintain the weight loss?
And the answer to that question is likely not, although there is a segment of patients out there who use it and who do end up staying on it for an extended period of time. The goal, whenever a physician puts you on it, is that we'll use it for a period of time, we'll see the weight loss we want, and then ultimately over time we'll train the body to have the diminished appetite and we'll pair that with some different lifestyle changes, and that will help you maintain the weight loss over time without the medication.
Someone is asking, my doctor subscribed me to a hard-to-find drug, Dronabinol. Doctor Elliot, yeah. I'm never good with these. 2.5 milligrams for enhanced appetite. I'm losing too much weight and no appetite. Is there a replacement drug for that? So far, I've only been able to find one bottle of 10 milligrams at a pharmacy.
Yeah, this is Dronabinol is a drug that is one of those things that's called a controlled substance. And so it oftentimes is in somewhat of a limited supply to the pharmacies. And you'll also see it sometimes, I hate to tell people, but it's been the subject of some shortages from time to time. If they're putting you on that drug, it's largely because there's a significant issue with diminished appetite and the need to build that up so that you get some food intake. If you're having trouble finding it, I would let the doctor know sooner rather than later. There may be some other options that we can explore at that point.
All right. And Jim is online, too. Is this Jim the pharmacist that – is it a pharmacist asking him to talk to another pharmacist? Hit line two, Drew. I know this number. Is this Jim the pharmacist?
Yes, yes it is. Yes,
Jim
it is.
The pharmacist. How are you, Sterling the pharmacist?
I'm good. I know. I appreciate all you do here, but I do have a question.
Yeah.
Are we seeing any doses of the GLP-1s beyond the recommended higher doses? For example, Zepbound, 15 milligram. I'm up to 15 milligrams. I've hit a wall like the last 2 weeks. And I don't know if there's any usage beyond that dose at this point in time.
I mean, Jim, what I've seen is that the answer to that question is no. And I think much of that is driven by the side effect profile from it, right? As I'm sure you're well aware, those things can get pretty rough on your GI tract as you move up in the dose. And so I think, I think there really hasn't been any attempt to study it because I think it. They probably figure it's a difficult one to get real good information on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's like hitting the wall is not a good thing here.
I know.
I've been on since February, and I really, I've probably gone halfway to where I should be. I've lost 20% at this point in time, and I probably need to be another 20%. And it's a kind of, well, this way Lisa won't recognize me at the next remote or so, whatever.
Always great to hear from you, Jim.
All right, guys. Thanks.
I love when a pharmacist calls a pharmacist and we get to hear it live on WGN. Sterling, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was great being here. We'll talk again next month.
That's Dr. Sterling Elliott, Ask a Pharmacist Day. It happens the first Monday of every month.